Feeling good today, Jamie.
Why?
Because I just absolutely dominated a mock draft.
You're very high on yourself.
This team is incredible.
I didn't like a couple of your picks toward the end. Your early picks were good.
Yeah, toward the end, whatever.
But you're picking first. You have to pick well in the beginning.
Well,
especially when some of the guys fell to you the way that they did.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Peterson, Breeze, Gronkowski. It's over. It doesn't matter what I do after those three picks. It is over.
Well, it kind of does, but...
Those could be the three highest scoring players in fantasy.
No.
Absolutely not. I know. But I'm just saying. Since they're
they could be
team.
The three highest scoring players at their respective positions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Love it. Okay.
My team's still better.
How about this for a teaser? We're not going to talk about that draft today. We're going to talk about that draft next week because we have to...
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Because we have to... talk about the NFL draft.
Yes.
So, how did you enjoy the NFL draft?
I enjoyed it immensely. I thought the first round was extremely boring for what we do because there wasn't a lot of skill players taken.
The whole thing was boring for what we do. What you
no,
do.
We got picked up in round two and round three and four and five. We're good.
Well, we just did the draft.
Yep.
But the point of it was post-NFL draft, rookie impact, blah, blah, blah. Yep. It wasn't like last year when Trent Richardson and Doug Martin were going off the board early.
No, and it wasn't like, you know, where you had, you know, Andrew Luck and RG3 being drafted just to, again, tease the draft. None of the rookie quarterbacks were drafted. No surprise there. I may have taken the most rookies. I took Le'Veon Bell, Tavon Austin, Mike Gillisley, and I might have taken one more. I think maybe just those three because I was helping another owner draft. I won't exactly say who wasn't around. Only their name only. But I love their team.
Speaking of which, Dave will be here soon.
Yes.
We're waiting for him to come in. But
yes.
We're also going to talk about five rookies impacted by the draft and
I cheated
five
a little bit,
veterans.
Though.
Why?
Because I didn't really do it exactly like that.
What'd you do? It was your idea.
I know, but I kind of did like themes.
Okay. Well, it's too late in the day.
Too late in the day?
I cannot speak.
Okay.
Our email address... fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put podcast or football podcast in the subject line. Ask us your question. We'll try to read it on the air. You can follow us on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Dave Richard, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, and at CBS Fantasy FB. Okay, so you were supposed to come up with five rookies who were impacted by the draft and five veterans.
Yep.
What did you do instead?
I did some more theme type stuff. So we actually had a coworker of ours.
I don't even know what that means. Themed.
Ask me.
Interested here.
He has his he's in a dynasty league, and he has his rookie only draft beginning tonight. So he said, and he's got the number one pick. So he said, who should be the number one rookie taken? And I think as of right now, given the fact that if you're picking right now or if you're analyzing it right now, Monte Ball still has Willis McGahee on the roster. You don't know what his role is going to be. Le'Veon Bell, a little bit of a question mark as the number one overall spot. Throw out the quarterbacks.
You're going Tavon Austin, aren't you?
I'm going Tavon Austin as number one rookie in Dynasty Leagues right now. Right now.
Do you know who I think is sneaky? Zach Ertz. I think. Eagles, second round.
But he could actually be their third tight end, though.
Think so?
Well, he's not going to jump over Brent Celek. And they're going to use James Casey in sort of this Joker wild card role. So I don't know if, you know, you'll see him in two tight end sets, but that means all three guys are going to have to be on the field at the time. You know, it could be Casey lining up at fullback, which he did clearly for the Texans. So I didn't like the fit.
Well, I was just testing you anyway.
Yeah. there are going to be some sneaky players from this draft. Like, I think I'm jumping around a little bit, but.
Yeah, that's fine.
Jonathan Franklin, if he can overtake Eddie Lacy in Green Bay, you know, just a later on guy. Zach Stacy. You know, with no clear-cut starter there for the St. Louis Rams, that's a real sneaky pick. And then Mike Gillisley is somebody that I like a lot just because, you know, we all love Lamar Miller and the opportunity he's going to have, but he's clearly unproven. And so Dolphins need a second guy. They don't like Daniel Thomas. That could be a guy. So in any event, the number one pick, in my opinion, for rookie league-only drafts should be Tavon Austin.
I just want to look up here the draft results, unless you remember off the top of your head where he went.
Tavon?
Yeah, well... I was thinking...
I took him in, I believe it was round... I really wanted T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton was falling to me, and then our good friend J. Darren Darce, right before I picked, took him.
And that, do you know when that was?
It was somewhere in the neighborhood of round 6 through 9.
Okay.
I want to say it was round 7.
Okay, well, let's find that. All right, well, basically, when is the earliest that you would take Tavon Austin?
Well, I don't think in standard leagues, Tavon Austin should be the first rookie drafted. There's a difference.
When is the earliest you would take? Because Giovanni Bernard went in the seventh round.
Yeah, Monte Ball was the first. Monte Ball was the first rookie drafted, and that should be the case in a standard league right now. Monte Ball is the best rookie of a seasonal draft, of a dynasty rookie draft. Right now, Tavon Austin is the guy I would take because I think he has the most long term value as we sit here today.
All right, you took Le'Veon Bell in the fifth round. Monte Ball, do you remember where he went?
Fifth round.
Monte Ball went in the fifth round as well?
I believe so. If not the fourth.
You are right. To Dave Richard, middle of the fifth round. Mm-hmm. Right before Vic Ballard. Then it was Le'Veon Bell. Then it was Chris Ivory to finish out the fifth round.
Yep.
Yeah, a little uncertainty there with the running backs. You know.
With the rookies.
Well, with the running backs in general, you get to the Vic Ballard.
Well, now we're talking about the draft. So you're.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
You're skewing from where we were.
Sorry, we're totally off our assignment.
Yeah, like I said, that to me, the first rookie in a dynasty in a rookie only draft right now would be Tavon Austin.
Okay, hello Dave. He's getting the headset on
so
here.
So my second thing while Dave's doing it, the way I would rank the rookies.
Hello.
As we sit here right now,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello.
There he is,
James Starks.
There's the man.
I'd rank the rookies right now: Monte Ball, Le'Veon Bell, Eddie Lacy.
The rookie running backs,
right for standard leagues.
Okay. Dave?
Yes?
Your thoughts on what Jamie just said?
I'm agreeing with him on Monte Ball for sure. I've got to go back and look at Le'Veon Bell. Just because like, there wasn't a lot of excitement about him. And
yeah, but it's
he was just kind of a guy. Yeah, that's the thing. And Eddie Lacy, all the talent in the world, but did you read about all the injuries that he's been through? Have you run down the list of injuries that he's had? It's a long list.
Got the toe, right?
The toe is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Because apparently he had some sort of fusion surgery on his toe, and that's something that could be very problematic throughout his career. But I mean, he pulled a hamstring during a workout leading up to the draft. He had a hand injury.
He's definitely
with seven screws, and I think the Packers know it, and that's part of the reason why they went with Jonathan Franklin, who might have been the running back that they were hoping for all along. But then Eddie Lacy falls into their lap, and they look at their draft board, and you know he's got a high second round grade on him or something like that, and they go, okay, well we're going to give it to Eddie Lacy 12 times a game. Franklin can pick up 7-8 carries a game. DeJuan Harris picks up the rest. And when bodies start to break and guys go on IR, we're still covered, which is far different from last year when they were scrambling for anybody to play running back for them.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of, off the top of your head, Big Ten running backs that are really good? Because it is a conference that disappoints with running backs.
In the history of the National Football League or just right now?
In recent history. I mean, you've got like Eddie George, but there are a lot of busts. Kajana Carter, sure. Ron Dane.
Maurice Clarett,
Beanie Wells. I mean, the Big Ten running backs, for some reason, they just don't end up being that good. And two of the guys
well,
I
that's
mentioned,
not good because Le'Veon the top Bell two names Monte on the
Ball,
list, right.
Yeah, they're Big Ten running backs. It's kind of a weird thing.
And I'm a little nervous about Monte Ball. I took him in the draft. I don't know if you mentioned it.
Yeah, we did.
In the mock draft, I took him in round 5. All right, so everybody knows. Sorry.
That's okay.
But the point of the matter is that I took it with him as my third running back, and I'm looking at the upside with him. I'm looking. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about opportunity? If they cut Willis McGahee, you're looking at running back who's going to play 70% of the plays. I have to get a better feel for how he does in pass protection. That's the most important thing for a running back to know in Denver. But if the Broncos drafted him, that should pretty much tell you what they think
and where they drafted him.
Right, and where they drafted him. Thank you.
Anything else, Jamie? More themes?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at long term running backs opposed to those just three, Giovanni Bernard, you know, has an opportunity to potentially be there for a couple years.
That's a guy I really like
in
too.
Cincinnati. I just think he's not going to score. That's my biggest thing with him because they're not going to take Green Ellis off the field in goal line.
I don't know. I think they see what everybody else saw with Green Ellis, which is just not a lot of pop. Not a lot of juice when he runs
Absolutely.
The football.
Sure, but
and Bernard's got some juice. He can. Yeah,
he also
move.
Has to prove he can stay healthy. But I think if you're looking long term, he's a guy. Jonathan Franklin, as we just mentioned, you know, if Eddie Lacy can't stay healthy, he's somebody. And then the guy who I think a lot of people are curious about is Marcus Lattimore. Frank Gore is getting near the end of his line. He's been fantastic. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Whether he sees those 2 years or not remains to be seen. But if you're looking 2014 or beyond, Lattimore somebody that I think you can invest in. And that same person who asked us about his rookie-only draft, he said he was actually thinking about maybe Lattimore as the first overall pick. And he asked Dave and I, we talked him out of it. But he does have the first pick in the second round. I guess it doesn't snake.
Mm.
And we both said that's the spot you target Lattimore. Because it's a good chance to reach for somebody there. Because you're talking about the 11th best rookie. Is he going to really make an impact? Maybe you get somebody like like a Franklin Falls there. I doubt it, but Gillislee could be there.
Joseph Randle.
Maybe Zach Stacy. Maybe Joseph Randle. You know, you're looking at maybe. You know, if you're looking at your team and you like your team for this year, but you're looking to build your franchise in a fantasy league, in a dynasty league.
There's a chance he can make it to 11th or 13th overall, depending on the size of your
team. Lattimore could be awesome, you know, going forward if he rebounds at 100%.
He's already rebounded once from a torn ACL.
Right.
And boy, do I dislike rookie drafts that don't snake. I think it's such a bad policy.
Why?
Well, I don't know if it doesn't snake. I don't know if it doesn't snake. He may have had a trade or situation. You know, you trade a lot of picks and things like this. He just said he had a second pick.
Because the one dynasty league I'm in does not snake. And
the whole draft or just
the whole rookie draft? Whole rookie.
How many rounds?
Four, maybe? Yeah,
maybe that's why.
If you do it for three rounds, if you do like a three-round rookie draft, is that enough rounds?
You know what you should? No.
You don't
I think
much
four
more
is
than that,
fun. I think it's more fun the longer it is.
Dave and I the last couple years have done eight. Dave and I last couple years have done this on Twitter, so we'll probably do it again. You know, where we'll do a rookie only draft.
No, you got to snake it though.
You know what you
could
do?
The talent at the top.
What about
so
this?
Much better.
The first round is based on the order of finish, and then rounds 2, 3, 4, whatever, are just randomly chosen rounds.
That's
so it doesn't. No, it doesn't snake. But you're going to pick first in round 1, ninth in round 2, third in round 3, fifth in round 4, 12th in round 5. It's just you generate the order randomly after round 1.
That seems a little weird.
Yeah, but I think that's the happy medium between snake and not snake.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Sticking with the rookies, I think EJ Manuel is going to be fantasy relevant this year. I'm hesitant to say the Cam Newton comparison because he's not that good, but it's very similar. Goes to a rebuilding team, has one good receiver, not a lot of other stuff. They add two rookies to it.
Not yet. Right.
He can make plays
in
a team
that's
going to be trailing a lot. Stud running back who catches the ball in the backfield. I just look at his talent and what he's capable of doing, you know. And Adam, it's funny because I asked Rob the same thing that you brought up, Rob Rang. You know, to sort of
very interesting
what he brought
tidbit.
Up. And I'm gonna get a chance to. We did it on our draft show, but I talk to this trainer all the time. His name is Tony Villani. He works for XPE Sports, and he worked with EJ. He's the only quarterback he's ever done in the history of his company, and he goes back to training guys. He trained Jamal Lewis coming out of college. He trained O.C. Urmanura. He's worked with guys all the way up, you know.
So he's been doing this for like 20 years.
At least 15 years. Right. He used to work – Chris Carter used to have this company in Boca Raton called the Fast Camp. He used to work for Chris Carter, and now Chris actually comes out and does stuff with him. His background is mostly receivers and DBs, but first quarterback that he worked with. He had a quarterback coach out there working with him as well, which I did not know, but – you see where EJ has got to, you know, first quarterback drafted, goes to a team in need of a quarterback. I thought the Bills did a good job trading down and getting a guy who they targeted, you know, whether everybody thought it was going to be Nassib. But you look at EJ, I'm sorry, getting back to what Rob Rank said, you know, the knock on EJ Manuel was one read and he's done. You know, he can only follow his primary read and then that's it. But as Rob pointed out, the coaches at Florida State told him, make your first read. If it's not there, run. And then he spoke to the coaches with the Detroit Lions who had him at the Senior Bowl. And they said, no, he can see the field. He's a good job at, you know, reading his progressions. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But I just think his opportunity plus his athleticism and what he's looking at. And I almost did this. I took Peyton Manning in round 3. And I was looking at, you know, okay, do I want to take a guy with a late round pick? I didn't have to because guys like Carson Palmer weren't drafted. Philip Rivers weren't drafted. Matt Schaub wasn't drafted. You have all these opportunities to pick up one of these guys. So EJ Manuel could be somebody you pick up. But I think we're going to see a Cam Newton type of impact of somebody doesn't go goes undrafted, and then you sort of see a little bit of a progression. You know, a 252 and nothing game with a few rushing yards. You know, a good game against the Dolphins, good game against the Jets. You know, he starts to pick up some momentum, and maybe somebody you look at with a bye week replacement or someone that just sits on your roster.
Okay, so maybe a strategy for EJ Manuel could be you take him with your – say you draft 15 rounds. You're going to wait on your kicker. You're going to wait on your defense. Round 13, you take EJ Manuel – knowing that there's going to be Schaub, Rivers, whoever else who's going to be on the waiver wire. And if EJ Manuel's a bum for the first two, 3 weeks of the season, you cut him loose.
And
you pick up Philip Rivers.
Do you know Smith could be in the same situation?
I think he is.
You know, just because, again, there's not a lot of talent around him. See, I just don't love the receiver.
Right, there's more talent around Manuel, and but, Manuel has more talent.
You know, and Geno Smith.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think more upside than Geno Smith.
I think EJ Manuel, maybe. Fantasy-wise, could be better than Geno Smith. Quarterback-wise, Geno Smith is probably better. Throwing
as
the ball.
A thrower?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would say so. I'm not a scout, but AJ Manuel, I think what Rob said was so interesting because it was always like, why isn't he better?
Right.
You know, why aren't the Seminoles winning those games that there's like one or two games a year? How the heck did you lose that game? And it usually came down to him making a boneheaded play or something
Exactly.
Like that.
He's not a perfect player by any stretch.
Yeah. But
the one thing I know is that
coaching could change
that. There are creative coaches at work in Buffalo right now. Nathaniel Hackett, can I relay a quick story?
Yeah. Before you do, up, do me a favor. How many, I know they had a running back draft. How many skill players did the Seminoles have drafted?
They had a ton.
Skill players?
Yeah. Oh, skill players.
No, they had a running back drafted.
Yeah, they had Chris Thompson drafted.
Thompson was drafted. Does the kicker count? No. He's a specialist.
Because this is what was the talent around him? Clearly off.
Oh, no, it was very good.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't good. But again, you're seeing what he's working with from a receiving standpoint, from a tight end standpoint. You know, it could be also that those guys aren't making plays for him.
No, I don't think so because he's got a sophomore wide receiver last year, I believe, who's unbelievable. Nick O'Leary, their tight end, who was one of the top prospects in the country. They're just not draft eligible yet. The offensive line in Manuel's junior season was a huge letdown, one of the worst units in the country.
Right.
But in his senior season, it was a lot better.
Yep. Right.
So, you know what? They didn't have, like, an elite wide receiver. They didn't have like a Peter Warwick.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at, though. Is
but
that
they did have pretty good.
Wide receivers. Their wide receiver talent is definitely better than most.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious as if, you know, obviously you get a good quarterback, he gets great receivers, they make him better. You get an average quarterback and good receivers, he gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But if you have a good quarterback and terrible receivers, sometimes you drop a little bit. You know,
right.
It just happens.
Yep.
Okay, sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Syracuse, 10 days before the start of either training camp or their first game, scrapped their entire playbook and went with a scaled-down version of a no-huddle offense last year.
Well, Marone was there 1 year, right?
He was there 2 years, I think.
Two?
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that.
You
I
think,
thought it was
maybe
three.
It was four.
Three
you know,
four.
I'm,
He's
when
been
I
there
talked
his
with
entire
Ryan,
life.
When I talked with Nassib about it, we only focused on the 2 years. In the first year when they had just, you know, their random offense, and then they kind of realized, listen, this is what we need to do if we want to win games. And Nassib was on board. He learned the offense quickly. They kind of tailored it to his strengths, and they ran this up-tempo approach. They scored a ton of points. They had a lot of yards. I imagine something similar is going to go down now. And EJ Manuel, he's not dumb by any stretch. He's actually a very sharp guy.
Yeah, I believe he was all ACC academic.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there is some decent sleeper potential here. And they drafted a receiver, Marquise Goodwin.
Last speed.
Fastest guy maybe in the draft. Just unbelievable world-class speed. Matt Bowen, you've heard of Matt Bowen. He does analysis in Chicago and for the National Football Post. He's on Twitter. He's a buddy of mine. He told me he was his favorite receiver at the Senior Bowl.
Interesting.
Because if he can get off the jam, he's gone, and Manuel can chuck it.
Yeah, they also drafted Robert Woods a round ahead.
And they had T.J. Graham last year, and Stevie's there, and Scott Chandler, for whatever that's worth, he'll come back into the mix at some point, and maybe they add somebody else. And, of course, C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
I am not opposed to this idea of drafting E.J. Manuel with your third-to-last pick and just waiting.
Yep.
Just a couple of little things here. Rashad Green was the wide receiver I was thinking of for the Seminoles, and Doug Marone coached for 4 years at Syracuse. 4-8, 8-5, 5-7, 8-5. And then, see ya. Anything else?
When the NFL comes calling.
Here's my sleeper rookies right now. Zach Stacy. I think that's obvious with St. Louis's running back situation.
Now, what makes you say that? Because I'm not there. I'm not with you on that yet.
For whatever it's worth, I don't know how much they trust Isaiah Pede. Mm-hmm. Darrell Richardson's more of a change of pace, third
Agreed.
Down back.
Agreed.
So to me, the way I rank them, I go Stacy 1, Richardson 2, P3.
Wow.
Because I just don't
know. I think I'm in exact reverse order.
I just don't know how much Isaiah Pede is going to prove that he's worth where they drafted him last year and the opportunity he's going to get. And I just think that they still added somebody, you know, for whatever it's worth, whether it was Stacy, free agent, you know, this was the guy that they decided to go get. And so I'm not saying that I won't change my tune by August if he doesn't, you know.
And I might change mine too.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's worth, you know, looking at.
Right, that's why they have training camp.
But even so, I think if you're just talking about opportunity, Zach Stacy has an opportunity to come in and win that job. Mm-hmm. So as we sit here today following the draft, Zach Stacy, somebody. And then Mike Gillisley, same situation. As I said, you know, Lamar Miller clearly is the guy that we all love. We're going to talk about him, you know, being a Dolphin starter. But he barely played last year, didn't prove a lot in the limited opportunities that he got. showed some flashes, clearly has the opportunity. Gillespie's going to be number two on the depth chart. They don't like Daniel Thomas.
He's a nice compliment to Lamar Miller. I think
he's an absolute nice compliment. But again, Lamar Miller
each other well.
Lamar Miller is one injury away from Mike Gillespie being the starter there, and the same thing goes with Joseph Randle, who's a guy that Dave and I both like. You know, DeMarco Murray hasn't been able to stay healthy in his career, and you're looking at a situation where no Felix Jones, if Randle can
he
prove
is Felix to, Jones.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they don't really have a lot on their depth chart too,
and they like him a lot.
Guy I won't draft, but I'm curious to watch is Aaron Dobson with the Patriots because. You know, right now their starting receivers are Danny Amendola and Donald Jones. You know, they went out, they added two guys.
It's hard for
Josh.
No, they added Michael Jenkins.
No. The other rookie they draft, Josh Toyce,
Boyce.
Those two guys, but I think Dobson is clearly that's the guy they drafted first, and he catches everything. I mean, you put
he
the
does.
Ball anywhere near
he,
him,
and you know, tall, lanky receiver with some speed.
Yep.
You know, maybe they're looking for Randy Moss. He went to Marshall
right.
for whatever that's worth. But it's hard for rookies to adapt. I mean, when's the last rookie receiver to do real well for the Patriots?
Oh, it's been – I don't think it's been any.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I don't know if I can trust a Patriots receiver.
I'm not drafting him.
Right.
I'm not drafting him at all. But right. he's just somebody
that's
that
a
I'm
name for
my...
like round three of that dynasty league that right. you're in, Adam.
I should correct something I said. Seminoles gave up 26 sacks last year. Not great. Maybe I overrated it.
Yeah, but that's also with a mobile quarterback because he's holding the ball a little too long, too.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in a couple times.
Okay.
You want the
Let's talk about the veterans, the ones that are impacted by this NFL draft.
Yeah, I feel bad for, to a certain degree, Willis McGahee, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and DeJuan Harris because they had starting jobs, you know, before the draft, and now they don't.
Say it again, Willis McGahee.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Well, he's still a starter, but.
Right. If you're going to put Green Ellis in there, you got to put Mendenhall in there.
I think he's still a starter.
I think he is too, but I think Green Ellis is still the starter. I think they're going to lose touches.
I don't think
they're going to get.
I don't worry
workload.
About Mendenhall because of the coach. So whoever he decides on,
right?
If it's Mendenhall, if it's Williams, mm-hmm. if it's Taylor, or if it's Ellington,
right?
One of those four guys is going to be his primary back, at least from what he says.
Right.
Somebody else will get some work,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to get. You know, you throw out the number 70% for Monte Ball. It's going to be 70 plus. For whoever the starter is for the Cardinals. And I still think it's Mendenhall. Because you look at the way you look at the way their roster is constructed, Williams is probably near the end of his rookie deal. It's either 1 year or 2 years left.
It's got to be 2 years left.
Okay. So and clearly health has been an issue for him. Mendenhall signed a 1 year deal.
Right.
So the future is more.
It's almost like what the Patriots did a while ago.
Right.
When they drafted Ridley and Vereen.
Right.
You know, they're going to give them limited work as rookies, but then by the second year, it's going to be Taylor and Ellington.
I still like Mendenhall. Before the draft, he was a top 24 running back for me. Now he's just outside of it. So I didn't really drop him that far. But I still think if I'm looking at the three guys who got hurt the most from this, and then I'll throw three more names at you, Ahmad Bradshaw, Cedric Benson, and Michael Turner, they all got screwed.
Because vacancies are filled.
They're going to have to wait till training camp.
Yeah, they have to wait for it. Bradshaw will get
signed. Unless the Steelers sign Bradshaw.
Yeah, the Steelers could sign Bradshaw. I wouldn't be surprised still if the Packers made a run at him just because they can.
Nah, I don't think that's enough.
If they get rid
now.
Of Starks and potentially Green, who cost them nothing to cut them.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think they might keep Green. He can do some things.
What about the Rams?
In any event, the Rams could still look at somebody too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a good call.
Yep.
More? Sorry.
Yeah. Two guys who win. Chris Ivory wins tremendously with the trade that happened over drafted.
Right. He went to the Jets. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, the Jets can't pass. Everybody's going to love to stop the run. I think if your expectation for Chris Ivory is what Sean Green's done, I think you'll be happy. And Sean Green was pretty good.
Did I have a look on my face like I didn't know?
Yeah.
I knew. I swear.
Okay. Like end of the season, Sean Green had 1,200 total and six touchdowns.
Dave and I did the CBSSports.com draft show on Saturday. I did the rounds four and five, and Dave did six and seven. We had Jason Lockenfor on when I was on, and he said, "If I'm the Jets and I'm," he said that they paid Chris Ivory because they gave him a 3 year deal. What the Titans paid
Sean Green.
Sean Green. He goes for the same money. I'd rather have Chris Ivory.
Yes.
So that's coming from Jason.
Yeah.
Nathan took Chris Ivory in our draft in round five. I thought that was a little too soon.
I don't think he's coming back to him, though, at the end of round six.
Yeah, that's the part of it is he took him on the swing pick. To me, he's a round six guy.
So if he took him with the first pick in round six, you'd be happy?
No. Well,
he's at that swing pick. Yeah, last pick in five.
Where he's picking, if he wants him, that's where he has to
pick. Right, that's where you have to take him.
I don't know. I know you haven't finished your rankings yet. By the time people listen to us, you will have.
Yeah, I feel like Ivory will be in my top 24.
He's not, and he won't be for me.
No?
But he
might be like at 23.
He's number 31 for me. I think Mendenhall's better just because of his opportunity and his coaching staff and his mm-hmm. team around him. I think Chris Ivory's going to get beat up a little bit. And I don't know how, you know, they're going to be in a lot of third and longs, and he's not going to be on the field for that.
That's true.
And trailing.
Yeah, yeah. And when they're trailing, that could be more Goodson and less Ivory.
I do like Ivory, though. I don't want to, you know, undersell mm-hmm. taking Chris Ivory. But, you know, where you have him, that's bold. That's good.
Sorry. Next item.
You said to me on Friday when I said I came over to talk to you about something at your desk, and you said, please don't tell me you moved up Sam Bradford.
That's right.
Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I do. Because I just feel like they need a legit outside receiver. You know, all these little guys, whatever. They need like a...
What if I told you they drafted one?
Who do they draft?
Or not drafted one. What if I told you they signed one?
Who?
Jared Cook.
Oh, come on now.
I'm serious. No. I think Jared Cook's going to be productive for them. I think
the quarterbacks are just so good. That I don't, just,
yeah, that's the bigger issue.
Yeah, but Sam Bradford wins. I mean, there's no way around saying that he didn't come out of this draft as a winner.
Oh, it's what we thought last year.
We did, because we like the running backs and Brian
and Isaiah Pete, and they upgraded and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but this is a more concerted effort to help them.
All right, so what am I missing here other than Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey?
Well, I love that combination
as well. I mean, you're just talking about where he comes out of after draft week.
Right. Okay. Now, all right, so here's the
question. I didn't
know
if I was missing anything.
It's round 13. Sam Bradford and E.J. Manuel are on the board, along with the other, you know, Schaubs and Rivers.
I think if you're playing it safe, it's Bradford. If you're playing upside, it's Manuel.
I think there's upside in Bradford too.
I don't think there's anything safe about him. But I think you know the higher ceiling from a fantasy perspective.
Look at what Percy Harvin did for Christian Ponder's numbers, and not that Christian Ponder was a great fantasy quarterback. He had his weeks, but his numbers with Harvin and without Harvin are stark. They are not the same.
But nobody ever wanted to.
Bradford's better than Ponder. Yeah. So I think that there's some opportunity for Bradford. I would take Bradford ahead of him.
And you got to keep in mind, though, and you know, I'm sort of speaking out of both sides of my mouth, saying I like Rashard Mendenhall because of his opportunity. Sam Bradford plays in the brutal division, you know, and that's the problem. And same thing with Mendenhall. But, you know, you're looking at the NFC West, and, you know, you're never going to start Sam Bradford against the Seahawks. You're probably never going to start him against the 49ers.
And
you know,
it would be challenging against Arizona.
So
I'm just not sold on the Rams' offense. I mean, they don't have Steven Jackson anymore. That's a big loss.
You
got to
wait and see how these running backs hold up in training camp. They've addressed the offensive line. I don't know. I think Austin, I think the additions that they've made with Cook, Austin, and the run game with what they're doing, I think that's going to change where the focus is.
Well, Austin's interesting to me because some guys are – okay, slot receiver, right? Mm-hmm. Some slot receivers are good enough, like Percy Harvin, to not have any other help. But I feel like a slot receiver is going to be even better if he has an outside
well,
receiver.
Well, let's put it this way.
To draw
some
coverage.
I was the guy banging that's the drum cool. for the last better part of 3 years. Danny Amendola put up numbers when he was healthy as really a slot receiver.
He did, but I really think he's almost an outside receiver.
Well, he does both.
He does both.
And I don't think they're going to be afraid to put Tavon Austin outside.
Yeah, it's just so funny to me that everybody hates Geno Smith and loves Tavon Austin. And I don't hate Geno Smith, but the things that people were saying about he's so not ready or whatever and crediting the system for all the production he put up, but no problem with Tavon Austin.
Right. And, because you can apply what Austin did to almost any system.
I hope so.
Whereas Geno Smith, I don't know if he's ready for some of the pro systems.
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
It is.
I wish there had been more skill position players taken early. More debates. Okay, sorry. I don't know how to cue you up because I have no idea what you're going to say.
The last one for me is another guy who wins big in this draft is Chris Johnson.
Yeah?
I mean, what they did with their offensive line, you have to be excited about it.
That's how I felt about LeSean McCoy.
I think you can feel good about it, but you just don't know for sure.
Well, it's a difference between talking about the player and the situation. Chris Johnson cannot fail if he runs the right way and they do the right thing with him.
Right.
If he fails, it's on him.
Right. And there were certainly instances where his offensive line could not get a push last year.
They just completely rebuilt the interior of their offensive line.
Right. And that was probably the biggest problem with their offensive line last year.
So for Munchak to recognize that. If there's holes and he's not hitting them, it's on him.
Right.
Chance Warmack in the first round for the Titans. Justin Hunter, wide receiver, in the second round.
Hunter was an interesting pick for them. I don't think he's going to be great for fantasy.
Well, Nate Washington's done.
Yeah, I agree.
So Levitre is who you guys are talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they got another guy, Robert Turner, who's going to be a good backup. They did a nice job.
So I was
so it's all on Chris Johnson now. If he screws up this year, then it's over, Johnny.
I was out of the
it's
state.
Over.
I was out of the state and out of the loop this weekend. At a family function, did not see the draft.
Where were you?
Thursday. I was in Long Island.
At a?
I was at a bat mitzvah. I was at the bat mitzvah capital of the world, Long Island, New York. So I see the skill position, guys, because I did a little research before we got on here. Truth be told, I really can't stand the NFL draft. But what did I miss?
You mean it's overhyped?
Give me just a little bit. It's also just like everybody has an opinion, and nobody knows. So
what are you asking?
What did I miss?
You give me some of the highlights. Give me knows.
Yeah, yeah. Give me some of the winners and losers. That you know, the non-fantasy stuff.
The NFC West dominated this draft.
Yeah, they did. All those teams
completely dominated this draft. Yeah. Every single one of those teams, those four teams, they walked away winners.
Yeah, all four of those teams have progressive general managers.
Yep.
And I don't know if every I know there's other teams around the league that have progressive general managers, but I don't know if there's a division stocked with those types of GMs. And it helped that the 49ers had a ton of picks. It helped that the Seahawks got some really good players with their picks, and they didn't have a first rounder because they got Percy Harvin. Arizona did a really nice job too.
Minnesota's day one was very good.
Yeah.
I really
that's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the Cowboys doing trading down like 12 or 13 spots
to get
a third round pick?
They like him a lot, and they need a center.
No, I understand, but I feel like they should have gotten more.
I think they
more.
Were desperate for him. Listen, Frederick's a good player. I just don't – there were a lot of picks in the first round that I think a lot of people felt were second-round picks.
Oh, like
the
Justin
Bears.
Pugh?
Justin Pugh was
the one. The one guy that I had never heard
Kyle
of.
Kyle Long was one.
I think that's just the nature of the talent level in this draft.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, what did we hear leading up to the draft for months was – the player that you get at 15 is probably as good as the player that you get at 55.
How are you approaching the Tyler Eifert, Jermaine Gresham situation?
That's a great question.
I'm not drafting either one.
Yeah, I don't think you want either one of these guys.
Well, just to give you an example, in the draft that we just did, I think Michael Hurkum was the last person to draft a tight end, and it was either round 12 or round 13, and he asked me, how much does Gresham get hurt by Eifert? And I said, you know, he's still the starter there. You know, I referenced the conversation you and I had, you know, where Jake Gruden last year, all he said all offseason talking about Gresham was he wants him to beat Gronkowski, and he watched all of this Patriot film. So he gets now two tight ends.
He referenced it during the press conference,
yeah,
right?
He wants two tight ends. You know, I mean, it's a copycat lead, and you want to have, you know, maybe what somebody else has and has success with. But he's going to take away from him in some way, shape, or form. You know, so that kind of hurts him. And so he was debating between Jermaine Gresham and someone he didn't, and this is coming from a Giants fan, he didn't want to take Brandon Myers, and I told him that's the guy I would take, and he ended up taking Myers, but I forget who he was debating with. It was Gresham.
Did he get taken, this guy that he was debating?
No.
Was it Tammy, Selleck, Keller, Fleener, Miller, Lewis, Clark, Dixon, Kendrick?
Lewis and Clark, huh?
Lewis and Clark.
I'm not sure who it was. It doesn't work.
It doesn't matter because all those guys stink.
It's not worth speculating. In any event, I would stay away at this point. You know, unless you're in a, you know, deep, deep league, 16, 20-team league, you know, where you're taking a tight end that could be a flex option, maybe a PPR guy, then I would take Gresham. But I didn't like the Eifert pick. You know, we talked about this. I didn't really love the Ertz pick just because of, you know, what their team
is.
He's more of a 2014 guy to me because they can get
rid of him. He might even be later than that. It depends on how good James Casey is.
Well, Casey to me is more of a wild card than a traditional tight end. They're not going to line him up on the line of scrimmage a lot of the time.
They're going to line him up all over the
place.
That's
the thing. You know, and Adam and I talked this before you walked in. They could use three tight ends on the field at once because Casey can line up at fullback. Mm-hmm. You know, so they can go.
They will.
Yeah. You know, they're going to move Casey around.
You probably don't think of Chip Kelly's offense being good for tight ends, but their tight
end.
It
is. Their tight end. Yeah. They've got a guy who's going to be out next year who's pretty remarkable. I forget his name. He's so remarkable.
Me
I forgot his name.
Another guy right for 2014 that if you're looking at dynasty leagues, tight end wise, Jordan Reed, Fred Davis on a 1 year deal.
That's a good call.
Toy Lolo, dude. I love Toy Lolo.
He could sit back and sort
Cowboys
of.
Cowboys drafted a tight end.
Yeah, but
that's
Gavin Escobar.
Yeah, Escobar is a guy for the future.
Do you like Jordan Reed better than Toy Lolo in Atlanta?
Yes.
Yeah.
I spelled it the Flackens picked him.
You also spelled Tavon Austin wrong.
Well, I put a Y in there. Yeah. I knew it. Damn it.
There is no Y.
Let's read some emails.
Listen, Eifert has tons of potential. I'm disappointed with where he's at. And I wrote it in the very first update I wrote after he got drafted. He needs that opportunity because if he gets that opportunity, he's a fantasy star.
You know what, you know what this
standard
reminds me
leagues
of?
Now.
This reminds me of Fred Davis going to Washington,
yes,
to USC,
yes,
and Martellus Bennett going to Dallas.
Yep.
Same situation. They ended up in just bad
spots. Just got to wait and see. But I'll tell you this. Jay Gruden, if Eifert has a good camp, they're going to use the two tight end set all the time. And maybe they'll even knock Gresham off the field a little bit.
Good.
Would have been better if he ended up with the Jets. Remember, that was, we were screaming about that. No, don't end up with the Jets.
If Geno Smith and Tyler Eifert were on the same team, that would be good.
Okay, let's talk emails. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. Put podcast or football podcast in the subject line. Don't know how to pronounce this one. Greetings, Leon, Roy, and Pris? I don't know. 10-team league. We keep two players each year with no limit on how many years they can be kept. Standard scoring league. Keep two. Ray Rice, first round. Calvin Johnson, first round. Trent Richardson, third round. Cam Newton, 10th round.
Oh, boy.
Trent Richardson's a must.
Yes, I agree.
I'd go Richardson and Rice.
Oh, man, it's hard to give back Cam in round 10.
It's quarterback, though, in a 10-team league.
Yeah, even so, that's so awesome. I say you keep Cam, and hopefully you can redraft Rice or Calvin.
And that was Gary from a southern city in Spain, and those were Blade Runner characters. Do you know a southern city in Spain?
Spain Hills.
Okay, Barcelona. Bob K., where's he from?
He is from Tokyo, Japan.
I'm in a 12-team.
We're going to go international, all international cities.
Perfect. I'm in a...
Next go Tuffy from England.
Very funny. 12-team, two quarterback, three running back.
Is that too much inside joke for you?
Yes, well, it was.
It was only on a national webcast that's broadcast live around the world.
Yes, it was too much of an inside joke.
Okay, sorry.
You can
for
explain
anyone who doesn't
it
watch our fantasy baseball show.
All right, keep two here.
It's a two quarterback league?
Yeah. What is
What's the problem?
On?
You don't know how to read?
are you as confused as I am, Jamie?
Ryan, I'm 12 team, two quarterback, three running back, three wide receiver, PPR league. That's his roster. That's his lineup.
Oh, I see. All right.
Need to keep two.
Okay, I got it.
Matt Ryan in the third round, Tony Romo in the fifth, Colin Kaepernick in the 15th, LeSean McCoy in the first, Alfred Morris in the 12th. I'm thinking of keeping McCoy and Alf. I figure I can pick up a quarterback in round two, go wide receiver in round three and four, and then quarterback in round five. What do you think?
I'd go Kaepernick and Alf.
Me too, Dave.
Thank you, Adam.
So throw back McCoy?
Yeah. Redraft McCoy.
Two QB league, that's probably safe.
Here's a haiku from Jacob. Where's he from?
Jacob, we're going international. Mm-hmm. Dusseldorf, Germany.
He's written a haiku called Goodbye Revis. NFC is fun. Lions on the schedule. Julio Jones twice. Okay, thank you. Tim in... Yeah, that's it.
He wrote in with a haiku and...
Fantasy baseball podcast haikus are getting pretty popular. So
really?
This must be
let's keep that over there.
For this. Tim in...
Unless they're really, really good haikus.
What do you think NY stands for here on International Day?
I don't know, but he's from France.
Okay.
He's from Monte Carlo.
Hi, Mikey, Lawrence, and Clark, or Chuck and Mouth.
Chunk.
Oh, Chunk and
Mouth. Oh, my God.
Chuck.
Okay, and to quote 1600 Penn, which I know you enjoy as well, Adam, is that Goonies? It's always Goonies. Yes, I remember that quote. Just a quick keeper question for you. 12-team PPR, two wide receivers, no flex, Cobb in the fifth. What do you think? Would he be a suitable number one if I went with two running backs, a tight end, and a quarterback with my first four picks?
Yes, he's a top 12 receiver.
In a PPR, he is.
In any league.
All right.
Oh, man. I don't know.
This one is from...
It's pretty good.
No name here, so I can look it up.
No. I got his name.
All right.
It's Felix.
From?
Felix is from Cape Town, South Africa.
Okay. Dear Marty, Doc Brown, and Einstein. No idea.
You don't know?
I know.
What is it?
It's Back to the Future, but Einstein?
Which one?
Is Einstein a character?
Yes.
Then I don't know. I'm going to say number three.
It's one, two, or three. It's the dog.
Oh, dur.
Come on, I need to read the email.
My 12-team keeper PPR plus a point for first downs.
Oh, I like that.
Made wide receivers and running backs league. Oh, jeez. Made by wide receivers and running backs. Okay. Dear Marty, Doc Brown, and Einstein, the dog. My 12-team keeper PPR plus a point for first downs made by wide receivers and running backs league. Limits running backs on the roster to five. How should that affect my draft strategy? Should I load up early, wait, spread them out?
No, with running backs, and this is for everybody's league, I think you're going to want to get at least two with your first three picks, if not three with your first three picks. Because once that group of like 16 or so running backs goes away.
What'd you do in the draft?
I went running back with my first two picks. I was picking seventh. I got Doug Martin. I don't know how that happened, but I was happy to have it. Mm-hmm. Doug Martin in round one, Steven Jackson in round two. Took him over Chris Johnson. What do you think of that, by the way?
I would have.
Okay, good. Now I feel better about my
life.
Then
what'd you do in round three?
Would you also pay your taxes? Because I didn't do that.
What'd you do in round three?
Round three, I took Jimmy Graham. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Graham fell to me in round three.
What was up with that?
And what'd you do? You went?
I went Peterson, number one overall. Breeze. Gronk.
That's nice, dude.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah, then it got interesting in rounds four and five.
I don't care what Will Brinson says. That's a nice start.
My team's so much better than Will's.
I picked 11, and I went Calvin 1, Ridley 2, and then because I knew the way it was going to fall to me, I took Peyton and then David Wilson round four.
Right, and I took Monty Ball in round five. I wanted to get a third running back, rather, before it really got bad.
Yeah, I took Le'Veon Bell. I was really happy about that.
Yeah, I'm happy with Monty as long as he does what I think he's going to do this
Monte.
Year.
Monte! He changed his name.
It's Monte?
It used to be Monty, and then his senior year, he's
can
like,
I just call
me Monte.
M-Ball?
Yes. This guy who I
That's
just
That's
how
I'm going to refer to him on Twitter.
I M-ball. Just read his email. He's probably like, you are such an idiot. He did write his name here. It was Brian. Sorry. He says, keep two. McFadden in the sixth, Murray in the ninth, Amendola in the 11th, or Lamar Miller in the 15th. Keepers move up two rounds a year.
I'm going Murray and Miller.
Yes.
P.S. More pretzels, less kickball. I can go for some pretzels right now.
What time's your kickball game on, was it?
7 o'clock.
What's your record?
You didn't come by 2-0. Cheer us on before.
Look how proud you are.
Championship softball
game? I love
it.
It's so fun, Dave.
Really?
Yeah, it's the best. Really? Championship softball game? What time?
Yeah, well, playoffs, our first round is 6:45, and then if we win, which we will.
This is the part where I check out of the podcast.
I went to see Jamie play softball,
or at least
say hi before the game.
No, you didn't.
Last week,
that's
and I didn't see him. I didn't recognize anybody, so I turned around. I got scared.
Still checked out. Didn't hear a word you just said.
Goodbye, everyone.
How happy are you about the Knicks?
Ask me on
How
Thursday.
Happy are you about the Bulls?
Checked out, Jamie. I'm checked out.
Wow.
Oh, come on, man. That was a sick game.
Checked.
There's no chance he watched 1 minute of it.
Did you watch any of that?
I was doing the draft show live, and yes, I was paying attention. I was doing the draft show.
That was really amazing. And
I would be excited, except they play the Heat in round two.
So?
No, they're rugged. They're tough.
They're tough.
Derrick Rose is going to come back.
I would be so pissed if he comes back.
Why?
Because that's such a weak-ass move.
No, he's saving it up for the Heat series.
Are we still recording?
Yeah. Uh-oh. And the Knicks coming back from 20 points down.
I mean, I checked out.
Missed the entire second half on my way to the airport returning the car. Luckily, I missed the overtime. Okay, we're done. See you later. We're back next week.
Zazoo!